Hello, Huskies. Yes, it's me again, Hernan Cortez, a financial aid officer here at the store's campus. I know it's been a little while since our last podcast, but hey, we're back. So today we're going to share a few items that are important to you. One is the Satisfactory Academic Progress, also known as SAP, academic engagement, and things graduating students need to know. So to start us off, I want to introduce Catherine Satajay, is here to discuss Satisfactory Academic Progress and Academic Engagement. So, Catherine, welcome aboard. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'll be very brief because I know we got a lot to get to. I work in the processing unit of the financial aid office and have been here for almost 6 years. Spend most of my time working on the back end, so verifying files, adjusting financial aid offers, and administering the SAP and academic engagement processes.
There you go. A lot to do, for sure. A lot of backroom operations to do. Thank you, Catherine. So, Catherine, can you share with our listeners the important things they need to know about satisfactory academic progress?
Yes. So, SAP measures the student's successful completion of coursework towards a degree, and there are essentially three thresholds that a student must meet. The first one is the more well-known one. It's related to grade point average, so GPA. For undergraduate students with less than 24 credits, the minimum GPA should be 1.8 or higher. Undergraduate students with 24 or more credits should have a 2.0, and then our graduate students should have a 3.0 GPA.
Okay.
The second threshold is that students must maintain a PACE requirement, and what that means is that they must earn a minimum of 67% of their cumulative attempted credit hours. So this includes credit hours that are transferred to the university. Some examples of grades that count as attempted and not earned include F grades, W's, incompletes, and our C's, essentially anything where a student does not have a passing grade.
Okay.
And the third measure that doesn't impact as many students is maximum time frame. So all students are expected to complete their programs within a specific time frame as measured in credit hours. So, for example, undergraduate students are expected to complete their program in a time frame of no longer than 150% of its published length.
No. Interesting. Is there anything that you need to know about appealing if something comes up?
Yes. So all students are going to be evaluated for SAP on May 17th. Once the semester concludes and grades are posted, we run our processes. And students who are not meeting the thresholds will receive an email providing them with their next step instructions. Because of this, I would encourage all students to monitor their emails for this important information and to carefully read and follow any instructions in the event that they are cited. There are several reasons why students may not have met the SAP standards throughout the year. Students who experienced academic difficulties due to extreme or unusual circumstances are encouraged to appeal. So this appeal, and they'll get the instructions in the email, has to be submitted by May 31st. And that includes the appeal form itself and their third-party documentation. Failure to submit a complete appeal will result in the cancellation of their future aid eligibility. So this means if an appeal is not submitted by the deadline and then is not approved, their financial aid for the upcoming academic year will be canceled. And also, if they're enrolled for summer classes and have aid, if their summer aid is not dispersed yet, that aid will also be canceled.
So it's really important for them to view their emails and take action based on what the emails.
Yes, always monitor your emails.
Definitely.
Always, always, always.
Okay, great. Anything else on SAP, or can we go on to the next one?
I think just location of the SAP form for reference, we do have that housed on our website. Students will need to navigate to our 2022-2023 forms portal and submit the SAP form that way.
Okay, awesome. Okay, thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to, again, ask you to keep chatting with us because now I'm going to ask you to give us some insight about academic engagement, which is a little bit different than satisfactory academic progress. So,
yes.
Again, you're on.
Okay, so academic engagement, a lot of the times gets confused and mixed up with the SAP process, but they are two different processes. Our office is required to comply with federal Title IV regulations to ensure that recipients of federal student aid complete academic credit for which their aid was awarded. So what that means is students who don't receive any passing grades during the spring semester who have been awarded federal aid will need to will be cited for academic engagement on May 17th, mm-hmm. so same day as SAP,
mm-hmm.
and they will receive an additional email from our office informing them that they have been cited and must submit an academic engagement appeal in order to remain eligible for their spring 2022 aid. So it's aid that already has been dispersed to their account. Mm-hmm. If they do not submit an appeal or are not able to prove that they were academically engaged, then we will be revising their spring 2022 aid.
Okay. And they also will receive notification, too, via email.
Yes, they'll receive a separate notification. Sometimes students are cited for both SAP and academic engagement, and sometimes they're only cited for one.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that email will go out on May 17th. And similar to the SAP deadline, the deadline for academic engagement appeals is also May 31st.
Same day.
This form will be found in our 2021-2022 forms portal. The form is considered incomplete without documentation. So just to provide some clarification, acceptable supporting documentation includes confirmation from a professor. So there's a section on the form that the professor can complete, and it has to be either completed in ink or they have to send an email to our office confirming the student's attendance from their university email account.
Okay.
Another form of documentation includes a dated and graded assignment. So if students have access to those, they should submit that along with their appeal. That must include the date of submission and the grade received. If the grade or date are missing or are not clear, the appeal is considered incomplete and it won't be reviewed.
Okay. Anything else you think they need to know?
New this year, we're accepting submission receipts from Husky CT. So those are sent to student email inboxes. I would suggest all students keep those just in case. It states the class, the date of submission for each assignment. So we are able, if it's past the 60% point of the semester,
mm-hmm.
which is March 28th, we're able to take that as documentation along with their appeal form. Or another form of proof of engagement would be proof of participation in an online discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So just a printout showing the date that you participated and that something identifying for you.
Okay. And I think a lot of information that you're talking about, it can be found on our website under financialaid.uconn.edu/academic-engagement.
Yes.
Yes. And please, always, listeners, you know, you have any questions at all ever regarding anything, not just these topics, but always give us a call. So now I'm going to give Catherine a break from talking so much. Hopefully she can catch her breath. So it's going to be my turn. I'm going to talk a little bit about what graduating students should know or perform or conduct. And that's, you know, all students who have borrowed a federal direct student loan are required to complete a document called exit counseling when leaving the university. Again, for all the students who borrow these types of loans, you may remember that in the beginning, you might have completed an entrance counseling and a master promissory note when you first started. Now you need to complete the exit counseling at the end of your career here at UConn. So the exit counseling document takes about 20 to 30 minutes to complete, and you can access it during via studentaid.gov, and then you log in with your FSA ID and password. The exit counseling is going to provide you an overview of information of next steps to prepare you for the repayment of your federal direct student loans. A few things to know about exit counseling. The exit counseling document is required by law. You must complete this document to request your official transcript from the registrar's office, and a hold will be placed on your account until it is completed. Exit counseling will explain interest rates and how this is figured out into your monthly payments. All federal direct student loans have about 6-month grace period, which means your loans will not go into repayment until 6 months after you leave school. So it is a great time to start preparing yourself for these payments and figure out what you need to do. And you do that by contacting the loan servicer and ask them different questions, like maybe you might want to lower your payment, or on an occasion you might want to delay your repayment of it. You definitely want to speak to the loan provider for that, not UConn. There are a variety of different repayment options available to you, so it is important for you to reach out to your servicer and set up an arrangement before the bill comes due. So definitely give them, contact them, so that in this way you can have a successful repayment period. It is okay if you need to lower your payment amount or need an extension on your monthly payments. But again, we stress to communicate that to your loan servicer. You will not send federal student loan payments to UConn, but you will be sending those payments to your servicer on your loan. Be on the lookout in your email account for updates from your servicer. All correspondence will be sent to the email you use on your original loan paperwork. That's when you completed the interest counseling and master promissory note. So graduate students, this is definitely something you want to take action on, complete it, I mean, as soon as you can. So in this way, if you need your official transcript, you will be able to get it. But just a couple more things I want to mention. That is, if you were filed or selected for verification, please submit those documents as soon as possible. Just want to send you a friendly reminder that your financial aid is considered an estimate until the verification process is complete. You can submit your PDF files through our website, financialaid.ucon.edu. Scroll down to the icon which reads Submit Documents and sign in using your NetID, and it gives you instructions on how to download them and send them over to us. Also, if you want another person to discuss your financial aid with us, you need to give them a FERPA code. This can be done by you going into ferpa.ucon.edu, select the Share My Information tab, and select the Talk icon. Ensure you select that student financial information option, and it'll prompt you to give whoever you want to have access a 4-character code. So this ends this month's podcast. I want to thank Catherine for participating. And for the students who will be continuing on with us next year, we'll see you in the fall. And a major congratulations to the students who are graduating this month. The best of luck to you in your new adventures. Take care.